Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of eLaborate Topics. We are into season three and we are super excited. And so I am here with my co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, and we have some amazing guests with us today. So before we get in and talk with our guests, just wanted to let you know, again, we are in season three. We are taking guests for this season. So if you feel like you have a topic, a medical laboratory or leadership topic that you want to share, we would love to hear from you. Just reach out to any of us on social media or submit our guest interest form. And we are on all of your favorite podcast platform, as well as being partners with LabVine. So make sure you secure your free membership over on LabVine, and you can catch all of our episodes there as well. So without further ado, again, I am super excited. We get to have been a partner with the Cell Bowl competition, and we have the honor of interviewing the winners. So we have the 2022 Cell Bowl winners, the University of Connecticut, better known as UConn, those Huskies, their medical laboratory science program. So we have their director, Bruce Blanchard. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
And we have the amazing team who won this year's Cell Bowl competition. I'm telling you, these students were on fire. They won the competition and it was awesome. So Bruce, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit about the program, and then the Cell Bowl winners, if you could introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, so thank you very much. I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity, to talk about our program. So as you know, there are extreme shortages in medical laboratory scientists throughout the country. And any exposure will hopefully help to fill some of those vacancies that we're experiencing in the field. So as you mentioned, my name is Bruce Blanchard, and I am an assistant clinical professor and director of the Medical Laboratory Science Program at the University of Connecticut, or UConn. And today I'm joined by a couple of faculty members, and I'll go ahead and have them introduce themselves. Lauren, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Lauren Corso. I am a faculty member in the MLS program at UConn. And this year I taught chemistry and urines and microbiology to everyone.
Hey, everyone. My name is Jerry. I'm a graduate assistant with the program, for former graduate back in 2011 from the program as well. And very happy to be here.
All right. And I'm also joined by some of the 2022 Cell Bowl champions as well today. And so, Ruth Ann, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
But hello, my name is Ruth, or Ruth Ann, and I'm a part of the MLS student body of 2022, and we graduate this May. I joined the Cell Bowl competition during my hematology class. Lakshmi kind of coerced me to it, and I'm so glad that she did. It was an amazing journey, and you know, it was just really fun to like be competitive with other schools, and you know, I'm proud of Lakshmi, and thank you for having us.
Hi, my name is Alan. I'm also a part of the MLS program at UConn. We'll be also graduating in May. How I joined the Cell Bowl was both Ruth and Lakshmi like persuaded me to join. And I did my contribution, but my scores were nowhere as good as them. So kudos to Lakshmi and Ruth.
Hello, everyone. My name is Katie, and I am also a senior in the MLS program at UConn. I had a great experience with the Cell Bowl. As Ruth and Alan said, I was also asked to join the team by Lakshmi and Ruth. They were definitely the leaders of our team, and overall, it was a great experience.
Hi, my name is Bethany. I'm a senior in the Medical Laboratory Sciences program. I was really excited about the Cell Bowl opportunity because I am very passionate about hematology, and I'd really like to go into hematology for my career in the clinical lab. And so being able to participate in the Cell Bowl was a really great opportunity for me to continue practicing identifying cells that will help me in my career.
Hi, I'm a senior at UConn. My name is Lakshmi. I joined mainly because of Ruth. She says I coerced her. No, it was the other way around. She kind of got me to do it. And so that's how we got here.
Just a little bit about our school and our program. University of Connecticut is one of the top public universities in the nation. We're located in rural Storrs, Connecticut, about 90 minutes from Boston, Massachusetts, and about 2.5 hours from New York City. And our program is part of the Department of Allied Health Sciences. And we've had excellent success in our program since its inception, with our students finding 100% job placement and greater than 99% pass rate on the ASCP certification exam. And our Cell Bowl team was composed of 14 student members, some of which are here today, some of which were not able to make it today. And as they mentioned, they participated in a Cell Bowl during the hematology class in the fall. And currently they're in the clinical rotations at hospitals in Connecticut and Massachusetts.
Super. Well, obviously, again, congratulations to your entire team. We recently had Aaron Odegaard and Tiffany Gill, who were kind of the originators and the creators of the Cell Bowl, on our show. And they were talking about how they came up with the idea of the Cell Bowl and how it has really grown over the past 2 years to really impact clinical laboratory programs and the education part. And so, Jerry, I know that you had a huge part in, you know, coercing your team or getting your team engaged in participating in the Cell Bowl. So I want to ask you first, Jerry, what were your thoughts about the Cell Bowl and what kind of drew you to getting your team to participate?
To be honest, I had never heard of it, the Cell Bowl, before. And there's a kind of a funny story, a short story as to how everything kind of got set in motion. Last summer, Bruce had given me some assignments to work on that involved me getting some information from the ASCP website. And I was poking on the website and ended up seeing, I think it was a news archive section of the 2021 West Virginia had won the Cell Bowl. And so I started reading the article and I went through it. And I thought it was really, really cool, really interesting. Never heard about it before. And then I immediately shared it via text to Lauren. And the response I got back was, "We got to do this. Send it to Bruce." Lauren is a former Division I athlete, so I think her competitive instinct kicked right in. And then credit to Bruce weaving it into the curriculum, into the fall. And to Lauren as well. They really got the ball rolling. I kind of took a backseat and just watched it all unfold. And hats off to the students, because they just killed it and did a great job, knocked it out of the park. So that's kind of how it all transpired.
Tell me, how did you really prepare, seeing that you had no idea about this? You just read about what happened last year. What kind of preparation did you put into this? And how did you, maybe, I don't know if intentionally or unintentionally, prepare yourself to have that winning edge?
So, Lona, initially, our class started in August. And to get the students comfortable with the CellaVision app that they were going to be using for the competition, I encouraged the students to go ahead and use the app. And if they submitted their best score or their lowest time that they got on the app, I was going to give them a lab quiz grade based on if they got a perfect score, they were going to get 100 on a lab quiz grade. So I kind of incentivized the program a little bit, the app, so that the students got comfortable with the technology. And then what I noticed as they started submitting their scores, and I think Bethany completed the or submitted the first perfect score that the class got. But as students continued to practice and get more comfortable with the technology and with cell identification using the app, and of course the additional added stress of the timed event that they had to complete these cells quickly. Once they started getting more comfortable, I saw that the scores were getting lower and lower and lower. And having done some research, I knew what last year's team had submitted for their winning time. And I mentioned it to Ruth and I mentioned it to Lakshmi. And I said, you guys have some competitive times. And I think that we could do well in this competition if you're interested in participating. And like Lakshmi said, I think it was primarily Ruth that then became the convincer and recruiter and recruited most of our 14 team members onto the team. And then, so with the class started in August, and the way our program works is we take one class at a time. So by the time the competition started, we were already finished with hematology. So I was a little bit concerned that maybe once they moved on to a new course that, perhaps their interest or ability to do well on the cell vision app, might decline a little bit. But I was completely wrong with that. And our team really rose to the occasion in virtually every week of the competition. Their times just kept getting better and better and better. And as part of that weekly submissions, Lauren was a great motivational source who would send Sobo songs to motivate the team each week. Lakshmi, do you remember the first week that when she the song that she sent, do you remember your response to what happened that week?
No idea, sorry.
I just know because I know you sent an email. So after Lauren sent her first motivational song, Lakshmi got the lowest time she had ever gotten. And so she said, oh, Motivation Monday really works. So Lauren would send out these songs every Monday. But I don't know if any of the team members have any additional comments to mention, as far as related to our competitive advantage, so to speak.
Actually, this is a really funny story. So I didn't know all the background to all of this. So when I started, I was like 50-50 in and out, okay? And all I heard was what the lowest score was from last year's time. And what I understood of that was, that was UConn's lowest score. So in my head, I was like, well, I just want to beat that score. So then it got lower and lower, and I was like, once I beat it, I showed it to Bruce, and he was like, no, this was the score of the last year's winner. We didn't even participate last year. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So it was mostly just me being really competitive with myself that kind of drove me to keep going. But that's kind of how it started out for me.
So did you guys find that the more you practice, was it more about just getting more practice every week? Because did you continue even after hematology? Were you still practicing? And then I'm hearing that the more you find yourself at such a low score, the more you're saying, oh, wow, we can do better and we can do better. And it's like a motivation to keep you going and getting better. Awesome.
Yeah, so I think the initial motivation, like I said, I incentivized it for a lab quiz grade. I think the initial motivation was I want to get a perfect score. So they needed to get something less than 60 seconds in order to get 100 for their lab quiz. So that was the initial motivation. But then I think Lakshmi had mentioned it previously as well. And Lakshmi, just remind us, what was your first time when you how many did you get right out of 30 in 60 seconds the first time you did it?
Oh yeah, the first time I did it, I didn't even get 30 out of 30. I got a 13 out of 30, and the whole pie chart was just red. I was traumatized because at that point, the entire class had already started doing these quizzes, and I was just starting then. So everyone was like, "Oh, I got 25, 27, 30." I'm like, "Oh no, this is terrible." So that it was really rough in the beginning, but the more I practiced, the better it got.
And there's a timer is actually in the Cellevision app, actually has the timer. So each time you have to submit whatever it is, and it times it like how fast you were able to get it. Awesome.
And if you make an error, it subtracts 5 seconds from the total. So then you even have less time to complete the rest of the rest of the cells that are there. So yeah, it's a little bit of stress the kind of push the students to get their time. But yeah, once students got their perfect score, then like Lakshmi said, they were like, okay, maybe I can get below 55 seconds. Maybe I could get below 50 seconds. And we were in a separate course when they started the Cell Bowl competition. So they had to then do a lot of practice without having the reinforcement of being in the course at the time as well. So yeah, they did a great job staying motivated and staying competitive and continually improving week after week after week.
Sounds great.
Well, Lauren, I want to know what kind of songs you chose to get people motivated about hematology. I need that song. How did you choose those songs that would just motivate you to identify cells?
I mean, I just picked, like, it started off like kind of like, let's like just like the first week, I think I gave him a Queen song, a song from Queen. And then I think it kind of evolved in my own head, and there were different weeks. There was Disney week, we had Broadway week, we had just like themes of like fun songs that they could listen to. Mm-hmm. I think we did, I want to say we did 90s, and then I want to say we did one that was more recent. And then obviously towards the end, we had We Are the Champions. And so like, it was just meant to be like fun, even if they weren't participating or, you know, encouraged to keep going. At least it was something to start off their Monday that was fun, encouraging. So I didn't have any like cell specific songs. But it seemed like across the board, Queen was the hit, the winner there.
Okay. So you heard it here whenever your turnaround times are low in the lab. If you just put Queen over the speaker, people will start producing lab tests quicker.
That's the hope.
That's funny. I love it. Scientists are some of the most creative beings out there. So, Lauren, it sounds like you have another career in your future as well as being a scientist. Who knew? Who knew the cell bowl would open up all of this? So, speaking of winning, I know it feels pretty good, right? You all are like the Super Bowl champs. So thinking about winning, I have a two-part question. The first part is for Bruce. How has winning the competition elevated your students' learning or even elevated your program? And then for the students, the team here, what all did you learn from participating against so many other great schools about either your program or yourself in general? And so, Bruce, I'll start with you and then whoever from the team that wants to jump in.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, my original intention was, you know, to get the students comfortable with the technology, because in clinical laboratories, more and more laboratories are going to digital imaging for differentials. So, you know, I was hoping to expose them more to digital images. And we'll see how this translates as they are in their clinical rotation now. We'll see how this translates, as well as has it benefited them to identify cells better using a digital system, because our program is, you know, 100% microscope when we train the students how to identify cells under the microscope. And again, I think it actually better than I anticipated. Because I know Lakshmi had mentioned previously as well that she was able to identify cells better under the microscope because of the work that she was doing on the CellaVision identification app. So it was presented as, let's try something fun. Let's do something fun. We'll give you some incentives to want to do this, but then it did become work out, becoming a much more experience learning than I originally anticipated. And again, even students, you know, like Lakshmi said initially, got a very, very low score, was only able to identify 13 cells. Each week, all of the team members that participated each week continued to get better and better and better. And in their defense, 13 the first week isn't a horrible score, because when we started using the app, we hadn't learned all the cells that the CellaVision was testing them on. So it became, as they learned more and more in the class, then they got better and better at identifying the cells. And as they got more and more comfortable with the app, then they got faster and faster and faster, until eventually they got some absurdly low scores.
I can throw out a brief comment. I definitely thought that this competition showed me like areas that I can personally improve, especially when you see which areas are taking you the longest on that pie chart or which ones you're getting wrong as you're practicing. It really helps you identify which cells you need to spend more time on, and just leaves you more room for growing and opportunity to learn what you need to improve upon as well. So that was my experience.
Yeah, actually, I'll jump into just because to kind of see how Bruce incorporated it into the class. It's really interesting because they come in the first week, the students come in, and you know we ask them, you know, can you find a basophil? And you get all these hands raised, you know. Is this a basophil? Is this a basophil? And then to start from that point, and then within a few weeks, you know, they're getting these, you know, these unbelievable scores, you know, identifying, you know, micro mega karyocytes on the app and stuff. It seemed like it was a really cool tool to kind of supplement the microscope work. And it was awesome to see how well they were doing. It was super impressive.
And I'm sure it probably will put you ahead of the curve too, because in most of our laboratories, we have incorporated CellaVision. So if you're able to recognize the cells using the CellaVision app, which most of the labs are using, and under the microscope, I think it's just going to put you that much further ahead once you get into the laboratory as a medical laboratory professional.
Well, I have a question for the seniors on the podcast today. And so I'll just be the one to do it, because you can't have a conversation without bringing up the pandemic or COVID. And so we know that in 2020, the pandemic created a very unique challenges for our educational programs, and really, you know, challenged and created some barriers for program leaders on how to keep students safe and yet engaged and continue their education going. And so it sounds like Bruce and Lauren have, you know, really tapped into their creative side on how to keep the students engaged and motivated. But for the seniors who were probably in the program in 2020, how did participating in the Cell Bowl continue to increase your student engagement? And what are some of the challenges or some of the unique experiences you've had over your program with that being a part of your, you know, your undergraduate experience?
I mean, we were pretty lucky, because as we were doing the bulk of the program, the fall of your senior year, when you're doing a lot of the training, the pandemic was kind of dying down. But even before that, it definitely made lab classes more difficult. And so some lab classes, for me at least, were put online. And that's kind of difficult when you're just watching a dissection on instead of doing it yourself. But we were still able to make it work. We were still able to get a lot of good lab experience from later on. And even a lot of us, I know, tried to go out of our way and find other opportunities to still beef up our lab skills, even when classes were in a weird place. And so for me, at least, I went and found a research opportunity, and that was able to build up a lot of my pipetting and other lab techniques. And so I think in the end, we were all still able to make it work.
Lona, you're on mute.
Anyone else have anything to add to that in terms of adjusting? Then we probably could move forward. Like, okay, what's the future pacing for you? What are you looking forward to once you graduate? Do we have maybe a few of you could jump in and answer that question?
I'll jump in. So what I'm looking forward to is just, gaining more lab experiences when you're actually in the field working. I know during clinical right now, I'm in the microbiology rotation, and I've been learning a lot through just, watching and actually working with the lab people there. And it's really taught me a lot about, identifying microbes and stuff like that. It's really exciting. So I'm just excited to see more as I learn.
I'll definitely agree with that. As we're progressing through our clinicals, I'm definitely excited to see the lecture content that we've learned and really apply it to what's happening in the actual clinical lab. So it's great to see things actually playing out rather than just seeing it on a PowerPoint. Being able to do it in person and ourselves has been awesome.
Yeah, I agree with Alan and Katie. It's just amazing to see all that we've learned over the past year, you see it now in the lab during our clinicals, and it just makes everything so much more exciting. So I agree with Alan, in the future, I just want to see more, learn more, and build on what we've already accomplished over the last year.
And I know a lot of lab professionals are dying to have you guys, and I suppose you're in demand, right? So much demand that we are looking forward to have groups like you who actually went, this is a great learning experience to be actually using the CelliVision and actually really refining your skills when it comes to cell identification and having this visibility. Now, I listen to you on YouTube. Now you're on this big podcast it's like global. And so, there's a lot of labs that are out there that are looking to have you guys. And it's going to be an exciting future. So looking forward to see how things go with you guys.
What advice would you give, and this is for Bruce first, what advice would you give to other program directors who may be hesitant about enrolling their team, thinking they don't have enough time to participate, thinking this could be overwhelming or a burden to the program? So what advice, based off of your experience, would you give to other program directors? And then from the students' perspective, because I know you all put a lot of time, effort, energy into it. We have students at our lab, and unfortunately, they did not hang in there with it. And so I know that this was a sacrifice for you all to keep the energy up, the momentum up, to study for the Quiz Bowl as well as your other studies. But what is your perspective and advice will you give to the next group who may be thinking about being in the Quiz Bowl based off of your experience that you had? So Bruce, I'll let you kick it off, and then team, I'll let you jump in because other students are waiting to hear your stories.
Yeah, so as I mentioned a couple of times, I think the initial interest was the fact that, they could get a grade by doing this. As many students are, they're concerned about their grades, and they wanted to do well. So I think the initial stimulus to this Cell Bowl competition was, I'm going to get 100, and then move on from there. And then I think once they had some success using the app, then it became like Lakshmi was saying, became more internal motivation as well as the external Monday Motivation YouTube songs that were coming from Lauren. But the so I would say program directors that are interested in getting their team involved, give them some incentive to participate, give them the opportunity to participate. And then after that, you know, just the competitive juices will take over. And you know, we had a class of 25, 14 members participated in the Cell Bowl. And those 14 members, again, like you said, they were able to work the time into the schedule to make sure that they got enough practice and did well enough so that each week we could submit a competitive score for the national competition.
Awesome. And before one of the students or a few of the students jump in, Bruce, I just want to say thank you for being innovative and being supportive, because sometimes it doesn't always happen when we are getting in the hustle and bustle of metrics and everything else that we have to do. But thank you for believing in your team and making sure that they were involved. And now everybody here in the United States and globally knows about your program. So I'm excited for you all, and thank you for just being you. What about any of the students?
What I would say is that practicing with this app, it's a study tool, not a distractor away from studying. And for me, I had actually started using the app during the summer before the class had started, because I wanted to come in with an edge in identifying the cells. And that helped me so much for the duration of the course. And I remember the first few weeks of the class, I was really doing a lot of cell vision to really build up my ability to identify normal and abnormal cells under the microscope. And that really paid off a lot. And even doing the Cell Bowl after the course ended, I know for me, I love hematology with my entire heart. And so I didn't want to just not look at a cell for months until my clinical rotation. I still wanted to keep it fresh. And I know that I'm in my hematology rotation of my clinical rotation now, and that has absolutely paid off in my ability to do these diffs. And so that's what I think.
I definitely agree with Bethany. It was mostly a study tool for me, and sort of procrastination, but mostly a study tool. It was very helpful, especially with the cells that I was having the most trouble with, because I'm not great at figuring out what my problem issues are until I'm hitting them head on. So doing this really helped figure out which ones I was having trouble with. And then the feature in the app where you can actually click on that cell type and then go into it and read more about it and see like more pictures of that, that was really helpful. So when I would get something wrong, I would go back in there, reread that little description about whatever that cell was, and then look at, there were at least like, there had to have been like 6 or 7 pictures just of that, of each cell type in there. So I would look through all the pictures, make sure I'm getting all the characteristics down and seeing it in all of the pictures, and then going back and trying again. So it was helpful to be able to kind of do this trial and error thing to figure out, okay, I did it, I got it wrong. Let me, you know, figure out what I did wrong, why I'm getting them wrong, and then try again. And then, so it worked. and by the end, I mean, I was getting 30 out of 30, so it was working. And I definitely still remember a lot of what was covered in those and what was covered in hematology, even though now I haven't taken that in a long time and I'm in microbiology right now. I still remember a lot for hematology, and I'm excited for the clinical rotation for that, which I have next. And I think because of this app, it's going to go well.
Absolutely. I will also just throw in some comments, but I also felt that the app offered you an opportunity for a study break, but you're at the same time, you're still learning and still continuing to practice that information, although it feels like a change of pace. So that was a great opportunity. And then just the Cell Bowl competition itself, it was great to see everyone being self-motivated, but then also the team aspect of being able to help each other and motivate each other to continue practicing was also a great opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with Katie. It was a nice study break because it was just so fun, but also you are still learning, and I really love that about the app. And it was also nice to just do something with my classmates outside of school, but not really outside of school. It was just nice to like be in a competition and just be like, hooray, we did this, and be proud of something. And, you know, when we look back on this time, we'll all just be like, remember when we joined that Cell Bowl competition? So it was just very fun and it was just very exciting, and I really appreciated that.
Okay, so I lied. I have one more question. So did you all think that you could really win? Did you think that you could really pull this off? And when did you think, you know what, we got a chance? I think we got this. Yes, I want to know. That's why I asked.
I will say, as the probably the most competitive one, it was day one. I told them that they were going to win.
I think that scared them into really practicing a lot too. So
I think that scared them. I think that's very accurate.
I didn't think we were going to win. I'm not the most confident person, so I was kind of just doing it. And then it was mostly just, again, being competitive with myself. So I wasn't really paying attention to what other people's scores were. So I mean, it worked, but we got first place, which is cool. But I had no confidence whatsoever.
I remember when Lakshmi's scores and Ruth's scores started to get lower and lower. That's when I said, you know, you guys have some competitive scores, and I think you could do well in the competition. I was hoping maybe we'd make it to the playoffs because of the format of this. You know, there was 4 weeks of competition, and then the top three teams in each section of the country made it to the playoffs. And I said, you know, you guys got some competitive scores. I think we can make the playoffs. And then as I saw those competitive scores get even more and more competitive, until Lakshmi's final score was under 20 seconds. It's amazing. And, you know, then I realized not only could we make the playoffs, but I think we have a good chance of you know, winning the playoffs and ultimately winning the Cell Bowl championship, which, again, each successive week in the competition, they just continue to get better and better and better. And, until those really, really absurdly low times of under 20 seconds were submitted.
I really love the whole concept that you used at first, not to make it so much about something so huge and overwhelming. It's more about something that we normally do. This is going to be about your grades and get them comfortable at first and then see the results. So now they have something to show that we can do it. Then you introduce it to them that we can get into this national competition, and they have something to show that they can actually get in because of what they're doing. They're already performing at that level. So I think that was great psychology, Bruce, that you used there.
That it probably wasn't the intent, but that's just the way it worked out.
Take it. Take the compliment.
Yes.
I was gonna add on to my comment. I think some of my confidence comes from knowing, like, they get really good hematology training. I'm also a graduate of the program, and I know how good the class is. So I was like, yeah, of course they're going to win. Like, of course, they do such a good job. They learn so much so quickly. Maybe they didn't know it at the time, but I was like, yeah, you have it. No problem. You got it.
See, I would have been more confident had it been a microscope exam. Because our students learn under the microscope, and our microscope training is pretty strong. You know, we've heard from a lot of our clinical affiliates that, you know, their cell identification and microscopy skills are really good at entry level when they come into their clinical rotations. I just didn't know how that microscopy work would translate to the digital television app and vice versa. But at least for this class, we'll see how it goes for future classes. But at least for this class, it translated very, very well. And again, they just rose to the occasion and were able to bounce back and forth between microscope, digital, digital microscope.
Perfect. I think for Lakshmi, for you, I think you may say you're not very confident, but I think anybody who can get a score of under 20 seconds should feel that they've got a pretty good confidence in hematology right now.
And the funny thing was during the competition, Lakshmi had like a brace on her wrist for I think just about the whole competition, and so she was doing the app. With an injury to her wrist. So
wow, it's even more amazing. And so I'm sure as other program coordinators or program directors or graduate assistants who are given assignments listen to this episode, they may want to reach out to you guys and hear either more about your very strong hematology program or just want to connect and learn more from you. I think one of the things that really helps us understand why ASCP partnered with Tiffany Gill on this is because it really, even with listening to you guys, embodies the motto of ASCP, which is stronger together. And so you can tell, you know, from all of your comments that this competition has really brought your students closer together. It gave them something to work together on. It's brought different programs together, something to focus on. And it's given the students a very unique experience. And so I'll ask either Bruce or you, Lauren, and if somebody out there who's listening wants to connect with you and ask more questions about your program, if a student is interested and wants to transfer or hear more information about your program, how can they connect and get in touch with you guys?
I guess who's the email? I mean, they can certainly email me. My email is lauren.lamberti@ucon.edu. That's a whole different story. and certainly they can go to the MLS website, which is mls.alliedhealth.ucon.edu.
And that's a more challenging one. Let me give you an easier way to get there.
so your email is probably better.
Well, my email for one thing, but also for UConn, easy to remember, ucon.edu. So just UConn.edu, and then that's going to give send you to the general education page for UConn, and just type in MLS program, and we pop up immediately when you do that. That's probably a lot easier than going through the whole Allied Health Science, because the website is like a mile long.
Sounds great, and just want to wrap up by thanking you all. It was great having you all, having all the different perspective and having you share so that other teams, people who may be thinking of this competition, they'll enter this competition because it's going to help so many people. For one, it's exposure. So maybe hiring labs can hear about different groups. And also it's a real learning experience. Just hearing from you, you have learned a lot. And that focus in really getting your cells in. Hematology is one of my favorite area too. So thank you so much for sharing. And for listening guests, thank you for listening. So you can always listen to this and other episode on directimpactbroadcasting.com. So, and also any of those podcast platforms. And we said earlier in the announcement, LabVine is another partner. So you can go on to the LabVine website. I think it's LabVine. I don't have it right now, but just look up LabVine and you can go on and you can actually register for free. There's a lot of education resources there, and Elaborate Topics podcast is there. We also have a Facebook group and a LinkedIn group. So anyone can join Elaborate Topics Facebook and LinkedIn group, and you can email us if you want to be anybody in the audience who want to be a guest on the show. Go ahead and email us and just submit any questions. So thank you all. Thank you for being a guest, and thanks audience for listening. And until you hear from us again every Tuesday, have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.